My name's Alexia Georgiou. I'm a life coach. Today, I am so excited to be sharing my writing class with you. These are short segments, and you're going to hear me talk about different parts of creative writing and how we can get in touch with our intuition. And so stay tuned. Get something out to take notes, and this is something that you're going to want to keep and review. Hello, and welcome to the Resilient Pathway. Please like, share, and subscribe. This is very helpful curriculum to get us in a space of creativity in 2021. I also want to encourage you to go to the website, theresilientpathway.com, and we have life coaching curriculum. You can sign up for the Substack newsletter. There's plenty of archived material. And if you subscribe through a paid monthly fee, you can have access to our video library on Ribbit Club Inc. And so there's a lot of material to start off the new year and to start it off successfully. Happy New Year, everybody. In 2019, I was part of the Unstoppable Cultures Fellowship in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And as part of our training, we went to Equus. And this was leadership training with horses. And so they took 11 of us out in the field of horses, and they said, interact with the horses. So when I went up to the horse to pet him, he walked away. And we went back in a small group, and they asked us to process in pairs of two. And so what I shared was, when the horse walked away, I felt rejected. And so this was a real eye-opening experience. The coaches said, when the horse walks, the horse is saying, walk with me. And so then I started to understand my process, and that I'm not the only one, because others in the group started to share their process that we misperceive, and how that could be keeping us from connection. The more connected we are with ourselves, with one another, and with God, the more we're going to flow and let what's inside of us come out. We definitely have some blocks in our life. You may say, wait, I'm an atheist. This isn't for me. I encourage you to please stay here and connect with yourself and connect with others. I just did not want to leave out the connection with God, because that's so important to many people of faith, and myself included. So I welcome you. This is when my pathway began, is when I had this walk with the horse. I tell my story. I have it in writing in this course. So when I went back out to the horse, I started to walk with the horse and had this amazing experience that I share. And I felt warm acceptance. There's something that happens in our brain, and it's called mirror neurons. It's very new. And so this is neuroscience and psychology combined in a writing course. Very unique. We need the left brain. We need the right brain. We need to have both of them working so we find a great integration with our creativity. So I hope to hear from you and hear what you enjoyed about the course. Somehow we have tied in our worthiness with accomplishment, thinking that we're not worthy of love and acceptance unless we accomplish and do something with our lives. And we need to change our thinking. Just being is very valuable. Taking care of ourselves is productive time. And in this section, you will be prompted to talk about your three greatest fears about writing. And so I encourage you to listen to that voice. There's definitely a voice that speaks, and it's a voice of fear. And it's what blocks all of us. Fear is natural. It's part of being human. It's a normal emotion. What's important is that we don't get stuck in fear, that we identify it and work through it and begin talking to that voice and saying, okay, I hear what you're saying, and this is what I'm going to do. And just not just saying, I'm going to do this. How am I going to do it? What are the details? How am I going to achieve it? And so that's what our writing prompt is about to unblock. The block of jealousy. Have you ever been jealous of someone? Definitely, yes, all of us have experienced this. And so I encourage you to work through this section to identify one person that you think of that you're currently jealous of or have been jealous of in your life. And as you think about the situation, what you can control about it and what you can't, and follow those writing prompts, think about a way that you can reconcile it within yourself. We definitely have emotions, and what's key is to detach from those emotions and look at the situation as objectively as possible. Do this through journaling, through speaking to someone that can look at the situation with you more objectively, and consider writing a letter of gratitude to them. That is very cathartic for our own process to unblock us. And it could relieve some tension in the relationship, and it could help them as well. Whether you send the letter or not, I encourage you to compose it. In 1990, a team of NASA scientists, they were trying to fix the distorted lenses in the Hubble telescope, and it was already in orbit. And an expert in optics suggested that tiny inversely distorted mirrors could correct the images, but nobody could figure out how to fit them into the hard to reach space inside. And so this engineer, he was in a German hotel and he took a shower. And he noticed the European style shower head mounted on adjustable rods. He realized the Hubble's little mirrors could be extended into the telescope by mounting them on similarly folding arms. This flash was the key to fixing the problem. So how can we get our brain to a resting point? There's ways to solve problems and unblock and find a flow through rest. Self-care and rest is productive time. Our brain needs it. That's when we tap into creativity to allow that time of rest. So I encourage you, as you think about finding your flow, to think about how you can add more breaks to your day and feel okay about it. The yin and yang of the brain. It's really important to foster a positive functioning and a positive state in the brain. And that's what we're doing through these exercises. Many of them have been practiced on participants in studies, and outcomes show that our brain can rewire through neuroplasticity, and we can put our brain at positive through these exercises. The first step is to focus on our strengths. We all have strengths in our character. And so the VIA character strength test, you're given a resource to take it. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes. It's free to take online. And you answer questions, and it's going to rank the top 24 strengths of your character. And so I recommend that you focus on the top five and that you write them somewhere. It'll give you a free report that you can also review, and keep them handy, because we naturally flow with these strengths when things are going well. And when things are not going well, we need to pull out that list and look at how we can use those strengths and implement it during that situation. According to Martin Seligman in Positive Psychology, this is the model that helps us find our flow. Finding our mantra. Mantra matters. What do we say to ourselves and our process? And I'm here to encourage you to be okay with that process. None of us fit in a mold. Some writing experts recommend writing 20 minutes a day. So if we write 20 minutes a day, we will have a book in a year, is what I heard one writer say. And that was just really encouraging to me because 20 minutes isn't very long. Well, what if nothing's coming to you on that day? Be okay with it. So have your space for 20 minutes every day and ask your intuition, do you have anything for me? And listen. And we're gonna have a cave video that I'm there with you, and you can play it every day, and we can ask ourselves and see if there is something. And if there's nothing to write, then pick an exercise from this course to focus on during that time. The gratitude exercise is an everyday exercise. The what went well exercise is meant for bedtime. You can go ahead and do it during the 20 minutes and then review it at bedtime. There's always something positive to do. We have a tree exercise. Work on the nourishment of that tree and what's working well with the nourishing and what's not working so well that needs to be removed. All of this will be explained in the course. So to begin to connect with our intuition, take a moment to be. You may be saying, I haven't done that before. And it's okay, we have to all start where we're at. Some of us are very connected with our intuition and understand it. And some of us are very disconnected. And then many are just in between in the process. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a cognitive neuroscientist. And in her book, Think, Learn, Succeed, she has an inventory that measures this, how intuitive we are in our thinking, and it's a continuum to how analytical and scientific we are. So I tested way on this end. I'm completely intuitive in the way that I think and problem solve. I had a father who was a biophysicist that worked with DNA and watched the strands respond to different chemicals, and he published many papers. And so he was way on the analytical. And when I took this survey, it's just been a few years ago, I understood how our thinking was so different and how many times we just couldn't see the same. And that's why. He's my late father, so I can't bring that to his attention, but it was very eye-opening for me. And so I'm going to put that resource for you. It's a great book to work on mental fitness and controlling our thoughts. And so as we're getting ready to listen to that intuition, how do we even begin with that? And the best way is to ground our feet and to rest our arms by our side, get that tension out of the shoulders. I mean, our head, our mouth, we carry so much tension. And just relax those areas intentionally. Take in a deep breath. Breathe out. Deep breath with your nose. Breathe out. One more time. Breathe in. Breathe out. Now, close your eyes and think. And just think and say, do you have something for me? And listen. And if you can't get your mind to stop with those different thoughts and to calm down, breathe some more until you get up to a place where you're focused. And focus on the breathing. That will help your mind calm down. There's something happening in the brain. Once you get to that resting point, that's when you're ready to listen to intuition. And the more you do this practiced every day during that 20-minute writing time, this is how you begin that time, then you will begin to tap into that intuitive voice and understand what that is for you. And as you follow it, it's going to get stronger and you're going to trust this process. So focusing on connection is very important. The happiness studies worldwide point to connection as the key factor for well-being. And so I personally have to connect with God for myself to feel like I'm functioning like I should. And that helps me connect to my intuition, which is intertwined with God. Now you have to find what that is for you. So I begin with my connection with God. Then I receive the grace to connect with myself, and then I can connect with others. So if you think of the oxygen mask going on ourselves first before we can take care of another human being, that is what we're doing. And so you're going to practice different things to find your own process. And you may say, I'm not so focused spiritually. That's okay. Focus on connecting with yourself and begin there. And so I do share a study on adolescence and the relationship with God, and that we don't need to neglect that part because we are spirit beings and we have a soul and we're in a body. And the more we practice on connecting with intuition, this opens us up to understand that spiritual part of us. That's so important. Identifying your habit. What is one habit that you would like to develop? Again, I referenced Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, Think, Learn, Succeed, and I did drop the link in the description of the writing prompt, because this will help us to practice mental exercises every day. And what Dr. Leaf did is she took subjects and scanned their brain before, and then she had them do exercises over a period of time. She scanned their brains afterwards and saw that the brain did rewire. One of the simplest exercises is to go outside and sit for 15 minutes with your thoughts. I think I added the going outside. It just feels like a little break to get some fresh air and some sunlight, especially in the wintertime. And people in a study, and it's in this book, that they preferred shocking themselves rather than sitting their bored. And they had been questioned beforehand and asked, do you want to harm yourself? And they said no. And they were told, sit in the room, and if you push this, it's going to shock you. And they elected to shock themselves because something about that is just very challenging. And so if you can't sit for 15 minutes alone with your thoughts, just begin as much as you can tolerate and build a little bit extra every day. Okay, so as we listen to ourselves and we hear these thoughts that we have, it's important to come up with counter thoughts. So we may have thoughts like, why bother? There are so many creative works. Why do something so egotistical, thinking it's all about us? Others are doing better work than me. So how are we going to counter those thoughts? People love books. That is so true. So what if authors hadn't written these books that changed the world? And you may want to jot down what books changed the world and study the story of the authors. Because we think, oh, they're just so wonderful. That's why they became so successful. We're all wonderful and we all have something amazing to give to the world. So counter it with, I'm making something true, beautiful, a good thing to contribute to the world. It's made a difference to me. And if it makes a difference to the other soul, one soul, then my writing was worth it. So we begin this process by journaling emotions and being in touch with those emotions as we write, because we are connected with our emotions and our mind. And sometimes we're afraid of the intensity, and we're not used to feeling emotions or even talking about emotions. And that's really something that we need to begin teaching little children, because that's part of ourselves. Our mental health is just as much part of ourselves as our physical health. And we focus so much on physical health and physical hygiene and neglect the mental health care. And that's what we're doing here, is mental health care. And that helps our creative process. It unblocks us. And so I do share intensity of emotions, and we want to go from the strong to the light and just feel them and express them. The ancient Greeks connected theater to well-being as a pathway to healing. The Smithsonian asked the question whether Greek tragedies could heal modern trauma. Your writing is theater for the world. Paint your story with your writing. So there's our mission and our purpose. It's great food for thought. And so ask ourselves, if I could have my ideal creative life, what would it look like? We are taking steps to have that as a reality. It may not happen today or tomorrow. This is a process, and we're going to enjoy every minute of the journey. When you were a kid, what did you play with? What was the primary activity that you enjoyed? Think about that. How could you go back and play just like you were a little kid? Because the same interest and passion that we had then, it hasn't changed. We changed, we grew up, and we fit into this world, and we accomplished, and we forgot what brought us so much joy. So tapping into creativity is tapping into what sparks us. And what sparks us began when we were little kids. I like to doodle. And so doodling just helps me process because I'm very intuitive. I'm an introvert. A lot goes on inside of me before I speak. I have a lot to say, but I won't be the first person who speaks. And so doodling and understanding that process about myself, and it just brings some kind of joy. Now from doodling, I'm beginning to journal through art. So I'm a writer and I like to write. And today I was in a meeting in a social presencing theater, and we were talking about developing our programs collaboratively together, and it's worldwide. And there were two members who had their art journals, and they were making visuals of what we were sharing. Now I had my notebook and I was taking notes. And I actually got a visual journal for Christmas. And I asked myself, well, why didn't I have that out as well? And so I was very inspired to take the next step from my doodling to art and to journal through art. So that's a very new process for me. And that's how I have begun my journey going back to my childhood to see what sparks creativity. So in this world, we live in chronos. That is a Greek word that talks about measurement of time. We are in seasons. We have events. There are birthdays and anniversaries. And we live in a time-based society. We want to still honor that and shift to have more of a balance with geros. And geros is a place of being. And how do we find that? And we're very uncomfortable with being still and not doing. And we need to find that in our lives as well. There's a reason that the Greeks have two words for time, chronos and geros. And so in the English language, there's just one. It's time, but we also have season. And I don't know how much we think about season with being. So as we begin to think differently about this, you'll hear me tell my story. I have that in writing. I do write about shifting from chronos to geros. We talk about humility and gratitude. We begin the gratitude journaling. And it's important to know what is our why and that our story matters. And so as you hear my story, think about your story and your why and begin writing. Emotions. There are gender differences because of our socializing. There is contagion with emotion. And sometimes our emotions are very intense. And so we talk about how to regulate those emotions when they occur and not to run away from them. Emotions. I am so glad that you're here. Empathy is a skill. So I tell the story in one of my books, how I had a loved one that was diagnosed with a disease about a year and a half ago. And so I began to talk about it because this was a huge event in my life and I had to make some changes. And the feedback that I got from people was a lot of advice giving, and I wasn't asking for advice. I was simply sharing what was happening in my life and the changes that were occurring. And as I received all of that advice, some of it was with real heated emotion. I really had to take a step back and think, what is that about? And that as human beings, we think that we're helping with advice. And actually, all we need is to be listened to. Listening is a powerful skill. And listening and asking open-ended questions and feeling with, maybe we don't understand the other person's perspectives or feelings or even feel like we agree with it. That's not what empathy is about. Empathy is about being with. And the mirror neurons, that's the scientific part. Have you ever seen someone get hurt and you went out even though you weren't hurt? Same part of the brain that's activated. And so as we learn about the mirror neurons, think about that and think about empathy with others. And this is opening up our spirit and our mind to the creative, intuitive writing process. Is to begin to move in life empathetically. That's the way to connect with others. Optimism toolkit. Why is optimism important? Resilience, happiness, we hear these terms now. It's because there are studies being done because of the technology that we have with the fMRI. And so I created an optimism toolkit, and it's from Sean Aker's research that he has in the book, The Happiness Advantage. And it just reminds us how to flow and get our mind to positive. That increases productivity. It increases percentage of sales. It also helps with accuracy on tasks. And this has been studied throughout the world among cultures and through various people have done these studies in many settings, including work settings. And so by practicing the skill of optimism and having realism as well, and choosing to be optimistic and have hope, we put our brain at positive. And how is that going to help our writing process? We don't know yet until we begin focusing on being optimistic. Did you know that you are a tree? So what if you looked at yourself like you were a tree? And so we give a visual here that it's about the roots. And so think about a tree that may look like it's okay, but it's been slowly dying from the roots and we couldn't see it. And all of a sudden it falls during a storm and we realize that the root system wasn't strong. And that's why it's important for us to nurture our root system. So what do we water our tree with? Think about all the skills that we're learning about, the regulating emotions, the stress cycle, the empathy, the optimism, gratitude. What is our why? What went well? What are the nutrients necessary for growth? What soil are we growing in? What ground do we place ourselves in? Are we in the right space, or do we need to make an exit plan and move somewhere else? How deep are the roots, and how can we strengthen that root system? And so organize these skills that we're learning on the worksheet, and these are goals that you're setting for yourself. Every year I garden, and I live in Tennessee, and we have the four seasons. And so in the springtime, the weeds start growing. And I have tried everything organically to try to lessen the growth of the weeds. And I just pick weeds all season long. Well, just removing something doesn't create a garden. I eventually cultivate the ground, dig a hole, and start planting those tomato plants. And I add actual fertilizer to that soil, and I decide where to ground those plants. I have a great space that gets a lot of sunlight and has really good drainage, so the tomato plants do well. Now, if I chose a different space in my yard where I have a lot of trees, the plants would not thrive. And if I used a different kind of fertilizer, depends what kind of acidity there is, again, it's not the right nutrient. We're all a little differently. And so what works best for my process may be unique to me. And we have to understand that and respect that about one another, and not feel bad if we're a little bit different, because different, we may feel different. And a lot of times it's because people just don't express and talk about these things. And so when I plant those tomatoes, I'm still weeding, I'm watering, and I'm still fertilizing. And my fertilizer looks different from a lot of people. I will go to coffee shops and get the coffee grinds. Every day when I make coffee, I just throw the coffee grinds in my garden. Whatever organic that I have, instead of throwing it away or doing some kind of process, I'll just go throw it in the garden, and it works for my space. It doesn't attract animals or anything. And so that is my process. Sometimes in the spring, I'll go get a bag of manure and I will spread it in the garden because I know it's great for the soil and the tomato plants love it. I've used fish fertilizer, very smelly and very yucky. The coffee is nicer, but I feel like that's more organic than the pellets that you can buy, even though I do buy pellets for the trees and different bushes that we have. And so, I've just learned about gardening that way. And maybe you have some suggestions for the way that I garden to make it better. And I'm open to ideas. We learn from each other. And so that's what this tree exercise is about. And we need to remember that garden, we don't just nurture it once and plant it and then leave it. It takes continual nurturing, and that's how we are as human beings. That's what our writing creative process needs. It's a continual process. You are the gift to the world. It's time to present the gift and let people unwrap. And you need to create your plan of action now. And this plan of action needs to have some goals and objectives that are short-term and long-term. And definitely rate what you need to start working on first. Maybe, hey, I complain a lot. I need to work on my gratitude. Hey, I can't even think about what went well. My mind races at night. I don't even know why. I don't even know why I'm writing, or I'm so fearful and I'm just stuck on talking about those fears. Where are you going to begin with these exercises? It's great that you've gone through them as an outline, but we want to go really deep, and that's how we create a deep root system. Is this is a process, and we need to prioritize what's most important and focus on it. And some things are going to be easier and some things are going to be more challenging. Remember those VIA character strengths. Have your five strengths handy, because when you're challenged, think, how can I use those strengths to help me in this process, to dig deep, to build a strong root system, to nurture? And so, you know, an example that Dr. Seligman gives is he had a student, and the student was frustrated because they went to school all day and they worked at night. And by the time they were done with work, the public transport system had shut down and they had to walk home. So they had a strong character strength of humor and having fun. So creativity kicked in and they bought rollerblades. And so at night through the city, they would rollerblade home. They would have earphones on with fun music and they made it a fun activity. So that's definitely what we want to do with our writing, is make it fun and let ourselves flow and be okay, and let it be a little messy because it's not going to be linear. And intuitive and creativity and tapping into that is just being okay with it and making things fun and using our core strengths with that plan of action. And so this course is meant for continual skills building, and you have the downloadable resources. I would love to hear from you and what you've gotten out of the course, what you're getting out of the course, and how helpful and supportful these skills are. Thank you so much for taking the course. Hello, my name is Alexia Georgiou. Welcome to my course. I wanted to introduce myself. I'm a life coach, I'm an author, I'm an international speaker, and I bring over 25 years experience as a mental health therapist and social worker. I recently earned a leadership and management certification from Wharton Executive Education. And I bring lifelong experience to work with the creative process in writing to unblock with self-care, optimism, gratitude, a lot of soft skills. We talk about our tree, what we need to nourish our tree. And these are exercises that you can have long-term. So it's not just a course that you go through. It's a continual personal development course. I am so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us at the resilientpathway.com. Please like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Happy New Year. And please visit the site, theresilientpathway.com.